Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome to episode 473 of This Week in League. I'm Nate.
And I'm Jay.
And I'm Glenn.
He's back from the dead.
It's a miracle. Risen. He is risen.
Praise Jesus, he's back.
Jesus.
Jesus.
I mean, it was a tragic accident last week. I can't even remember all the details. You'll have to listen to the last episode. I mean, I remember there was like a Chinese New Year. Tyson Gary was involved.
Belated Chinese New Year. Dragon costume. Fireworks
were involved. Tyson Gamble lost his life.
Yeah. Bled to death. Lost his leg after an unfortunate firework explosion.
And Jay was in like the dragon costume with Tyson Gamble. Jay was like the ass of the dragon in a bladed Chinese New Year dragon suit thing.
With fireworks in his anus.
Fireworks. Fuck yes. Yep.
What a way
but,
to go.
But he's miraculously been resurrected. Boy, what manner of...
With the same doctors as...
Dark satanic shit.
Ivan Cleary's blood clot.
Well, the thing is with this blood clot thing, I mean, it's becoming increasingly clear to me that Cameron Ciraldo is delaying his decision on where he goes to coach next because he's still in with a shot at the Panthers.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
I mean, he may end up... So he's just like, or it's a race between the West Tigers versus the blood clot to see where he winds up next year.
Fucking hell.
But yeah, as you can tell, I mean, you still sound a little bit sick. A little bit. Like it's there.
Oh, it's fucking there.
Yeah.
It's fucking terrible. It's like a Storm fan at 3 a.m. on grand final morning.
Like, non-COVID related pangolin born super virus.
Yeah, this thing's fucking stubborn.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's funny. Like it was after we recorded that night on what was it last Wednesday night, and I think on the Thursday I get a call from you at about 10 o'clock in the morning, and I'm like, "Oh, here we go. What's he up to? Okay, how's it going? Nothing." And then just background noise. And then I heard you telling your stepchild that you'd caught her AIDS. And they're like, and then that made me think, you know, surely he must have called me on purpose. And that had to have been for my benefit.
Yeah, no.
But you weren't responding. I'm like, oh, it must be your butt dial. So then I, you know, hung up, texted you, said, look, you know, that you just butt dialed me. Yeah. Never heard back. I was like, oh, obviously. Yeah, of course.
Man.
He's with Tyson Gamble now.
It was that Wednesday night was in one of the top three worst illness-related nights I've ever had. As in, my fever was at, like, I was pacing up and down the hallway, and I remember being angry at science because there was no diagnosis for what I had, and I couldn't get any answers from fucking scientists.
But how many scientists did you actually engage? Was this like hallucinations or
Google?
Yeah,
well, like, this is it. In my fucking fever dreams.
Yeah, right.
You know, I'd already consulted with the top minds.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, no, this was fucking rough. So, thoughts and prayers, anyone that's had whatever the fuck that was.
Yes.
But it wasn't COVID.
Unless I just had a tipping point of the virus load in my body from my years of activities, and all of a sudden a common cold tipped me over the edge, but who fucking knows?
But that was your, was that your first thing, you know, since like the COVID shutdown stuff?
Yep. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. I thought I was getting it on Monday night, but I dodged another bullet. Invincible yet again.
There we go.
And, pure blood. Yeah. So invincible till the next time I.
You do have to be human to succumb to human viruses, mate.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. Look, I'll take it.
You're a fucking animal.
So they say.
That's what they say.
So they say, Glennie. So they say. I'll tell you what. Speaking of animals, the other day I was up doing the school run, outside Kill School, and there's a street there, like just an offshoot of the main street, where it's like it's a cul-de-sac. Like, there's on one side of the road is just like the school tennis courts and stuff. Down the end of the road is like the school shed for, like, you know, maybe, you know, like maintenance or groundskeeping or whatever. And on the other side of the road is just like a long wall, and inside there's like an old people's sort of home. So there's no traffic on this road, right? There's no reason for cars to be on this road, and but it's kind of narrow, and so I was just parked there, like parked illegally, just idling, just waiting for him to get out of school in the afternoon, a couple of minutes before he came to the car. And this tradie comes from the other direction in his car, and he pulls up beside me, and he starts fucking like yelling at me. And I had my window up, and I was listening to stuff, so I didn't realize. And then I sort of looked over, and I saw this guy yelling at me. I'm like, so I wind down my window, like, fuck's your problem? And he's just going, you can't park there. What? I'm like fucking so. And he goes, you can't fucking park there. Can't you see the sign? I said, yeah, I can see the sign. He said, what are you fucking parked there for? He said, are you going to fucking move? Ultimately. And then he's like, the sign says you can't fucking park there. You're going to fucking, you're going to park there, and your kids are going to, you know, how are you going to teach your kids? I said, look, I'm going to teach my kids to mind their fucking business, pal. And then he's like,
just like your parents should have taught you.
And so then I've just got, he just kept going and going. And I'm just like, look, this is going to either end up in something or it's not. So I just sort of just went like, just motioned like a yawning motion and just fucking wound my window up again. And I'm like, all right, I'm ready. If he gets out, he gets out. If he doesn't, he doesn't. But I'm not going to listen to this cunt for 1 second longer. And he just drove down into the old people's thing. And that was the end of that. I was like, fuck me, mate. Like, you parked in the middle of the road to fucking give me a sermon about not parking.
Yeah. But see, here's the thing, right? Are you parking across someone's driveway?
Nope. It's like there's a tennis court next to it. There's no driveways. It's not even a paved footpath. It's just like grass.
Are you doing that thing where, you know, if you're parked there, somebody mm-hmm. that's exiting out of another driveway can't see properly because it's narrow?
No. In fact,
another fucking human being?
The only thing impeding traffic was that guy fucking pulled up alongside me yelling at me.
There you fucking go.
And it was funny. There were like three other parents' cars like lined up behind me because it's the spot, like where, you know, where people do it. And when he started fucking grouching off, and then when he drove off, all three of them fucking drove off to find another place to park. I was like, hey, fucking cowards. So
there you go.
Anyway,
this week in road rage.
This week in dumb cunts fucking trying to test me, or as I like to call it, a day that ends in Y. So I'll tell you, it's that fucking time of the year, boys. I mean, you're fucking fired up. The only other thing I want to talk about, because we're kind of doing like a merge episode this week, like with, you know, not much going on this weekend. I just wanted to quickly say, like, without hitting any news stories, what do you make of this, Glennie, where they're saying that on a full week before team lists come out, because we're not going to get any teams out until Tuesday because of the, you know, there's nothing this weekend, right?
Mm-hmm.
So what are you making of it? Like, already they're starting up, oh, yeah, like, Brooksy's getting dropped for the first time in his career.
Is it the first time in his career, though?
This is what they're saying.
I'm sure he had a couple of weeks in. Anyway.
First time dropped to Reggie's, I think they're saying.
Right.
Is this one of those ones where it's, you know, he may have played some Reggie's on the way back from an injury or something?
No. I don't know. I could be wrong. I just remember, I'm not going to say it was last year, but maybe the season prior, where the same sort of bullshit, because essentially with the same fucking piece of shit, shambles, dumpster fire of a pack of cunts that we have been for a number of years now. So it's no fucking surprise that a couple of years ago Brooks was going through the same bullshit where everyone thought he was a fucking worthless piece of human garbage and deserved to be dropped. So that's happened every fucking week for about the last 8 seasons. So it's difficult for me to pinpoint, but
I still feel like he
did actually get dropped, but I could be wrong. But I just think Brooks is the whipping boy. We've spoken about it before. He's going to be the guy they come after. There's way bigger problems at the Tigers than Luke Brooks. And it starts with the fucking, it starts with the chairman, flows through the fucking CEO, the board, and I just douse them all in petrol and set them all a fucking light. Pack of Glennie, cunts.
Glennie,
the lot
Glennie,
of them.
I would put it to you that the chairman through to the CEO and down into the rest of the board.
I've probably gone the wrong way.
They haven't missed a tackle.
No, but they have made decisions to put people onto an NRL field that have the capacity to miss lots of tackles. And that's their fucking job, to get that shit right. And they haven't got it right for a decade or more.
Yeah.
And fucking tit for tatting with, again, probably pretty selective in his fucking targets as far as podcast hosts go, but tit for tatting with a fucking, some bottom feeding fucking podcast.
Did you see that one actually made it onto the pages of Fox Sports?
Yeah, exactly.
This week. Just it was about 2 weeks after it all happened.
What the fuck are you doing? You said many years ago, and I remember it fondly, where you were like, fucking, I'm not even going to entertain that. We don't fight down. The county's the fucking chairman of an NRL club. Yeah. Why would you go to those sort of lengths to just, fuck me, cunt, you've got way bigger problems than some cunt jawing off about the club from a podcast. It'd be like him diving in on me. I'm probably not a 50-year-old fucking bottom feeder. I reckon I could probably
conversation
with him.
You've also got more than 3,000 listeners on a podcast. Too, let me just quietly.
Fair. But
it's funny, like that whole spat between those two. Neither side really bothered me that much. I mean, that guy is just obviously one of those grouchy fucking podcasts where they do nothing but fucking shit on things, and it's a single topic podcast too. Like it's just West Tigers. So how much joy is there to be fucking spread, right? And so they're constantly like, you know, in the doom and gloom because it's, you know, doom and gloom scenario most of the time.
Do they just bully each other? Like if they're multiple hosts and they're all Tigers fans?
Well, look, I wonder if they've said something as bad as like dousing the board and everybody in petrol. And setting them a light clean.
Maybe
like you said,
that's fairly inflammatory. Maybe I'll get cancelled.
Well, it's
for
very
it.
Inflammatory. Petrol is literally very inflammatory, mate.
The other thing is, though, that this reeks of the disassociation. Well, yeah, it smells like petrol, but the disassociation of people at that chairman's level. And I've seen, and it's not exclusive to football. I've seen it so many fucking times where they live within that world. And they sniff enough of their own farts for so fucking long that they think that the sort of behaviour and tantrums that impress, you know, other C-level executives, you know, telling war stories, and I fucking told this cunt that he can fucking this, and fucking if you're going to refer to this, make sure you print it in full. Yeah. They do this shit. And they just assume that the rest of the world's fucking impressed by that shit.
Yeah.
Whereas no one gives a fuck.
And everyone's just looking at him going, you are a fucking flop.
Yeah.
You are an absolute fucking flop. Like the disproportionate amount of effort that you've put into this situation. Like,
yeah, the amount of breath you've wasted, it says everything about
this is the thing, because what he said should never have come out of like a, you know, the email or text from a chairman of an NRL club.
I'll tell you, I'm sorry.
But,
you finish,
you know, saying that, like if he was saying that to Justin Pascoe to say why he wasn't going to go on the podcast, that's totally fine because at the end of the day, everything he said was kind of like, was quite all right. I mean, like I would not have any problem with a chairman behind closed doors saying, who gives a fuck about this cunt? He does nothing but bitch about the club and he's not even a member.
Amen.
Like who the fuck is this guy to fuck it? Like, you know, to demand my fucking on this fucking thing. Like I get that side of things, but and at the same time, like, you know, like a West Tigers podcast, I can only imagine wouldn't be a fucking laugh a minute, and it would be a fairly surly affair for good reason.
Here's the thing, though.
What are you trying to say?
It's not.
I'm just trying to say they would get them both in the ring for charity. Aren't they having a fight night with fucking Ben Hannett and Justin Hodges and co coming up soon? I mean, put them in, you know, the little 12-week fucking thing.
Yeah,
corporate box, whatever, you know.
Honestly,
train them both up, let them at it.
It's not fucking hard. Hey, thanks for reaching out. You know, there's a lot of podcasts out there, and unfortunately, we don't have time to do them all, and so it'd be unfair of us just to pick one.
Mm.
Yeah.
What we have done
just
though,
the straightest of straight bats.
What we have done, though, is set up this special purpose email address. For any listeners and fans via podcasts can send us their email questions. And, you know, I'll like anything else, though, we do have a members contact section where financial members of the club can contact us, and that does get priority.
Or he doesn't even have to go that hard. All you can just say is no, thank you.
One thing I did get annoyed about, right, is the fact that you didn't pay your fucking $100 to be a member, and therefore you're not worthy. So what about people, right? If you use last year's Redcliffe game, and I it was Father's Day, but it was a 6 hour round trip for me, and I'm sure I wasn't the only Tigers fan that made that effort, and I'm sure some of those people probably aren't financial members of the club, right? So, but they go along and they support, and they come from wherever the fuck and commute for a few hours, which is an investment in time and money to get in the game and whatever else, right? And they fucking buy their jersey and their flag and whatever. But maybe they can't fucking afford to buy a membership or whatever. But what about the investment of their time where they've fucking gone and sat there through just that's one example. Sunday was another one. And there's plenty in between.
They paid for their ticket. They got that. They got that. They got 80 minutes. Did they get 80 minutes of rugby league?
So they're not. Those people aren't fucking worthy of having a say about the club.
Look, just like get the fuck you know, out as, of here. As someone who manages a community with financial members, I fucking love financial members much more than people that aren't. One week to go. This week in league.com/shop. Oh, fucking Glenny. Thank you. You set that one up beautifully.
I set him up. You spike him. I'd spike him, but mine's too short.
This is something we could talk about this for another hour easily, where it's just like,
please don't.
It's just the whole role of criticism and everything in about anything in fucking society. Like the old classic, you know, I don't know who it would be, like Willie Mason or whoever fucking on Twitter's like, you know, how many NRL games you played? You know, to someone who criticizes a player's performance or something like that.
Yeah.
And then you can extrapolate that all the way down the line. Oh, I didn't like the fucking meal. How many years have you worked as a chef? Oh, that movie sucked. How many films have you directed, mate?
Yeah. Like, how many fucking films have you done sound for? Fucking talking to your microphone, cunt.
Oh, that song sucks. Or how many fucking dreadlocks have you grown on your head and played a fucking chord progression over and over that doesn't go anywhere and is boring about some cunt?
Well, why? I'm in enough pain. Why are you going to do that?
How many dreadlocks are you growing, Glenny?
Zero. My son's making up for it, but I personally have grown zero.
Yeah. Right. Heel Jimmy Butler. Now. Round 15 results, let's go. Thursday night, the Dragons 32 defeated the Rabbitohs 12. The Dragons 32, tries to Ben Hunt, Jack DeBellin, Moses Sully, Cody Ramsey, double to Ravalawa. Lomax 4 conversions from 6 attempts. The Rabbitohs 12, tries to Cook and Murray. Nikarima 2 conversions. And this one was all thanks to a super impressive 32 points to nil first half from the Dragons.
I thought... we've said it plenty of times already this season, but Ben Hunt with another great game. I don't know how many people think the Dragons are going to make the eight, but if they are, he has to play like that almost every week. But with the form that he's shown, I'm not sure I'm going to back against him.
They need to extract everything of potential that the players around him are supposed to be able to do. Because this one featured Sully doing, like, you know, Sully things for the first time this year.
Yeah. I thought Lomax was obviously stung by some of the criticism that was coming his way.
And he had his best game of the season. I mean, he wasn't throwing the stupid, tap-ons and, you know, ill-advised shit. I mean, he actually just played, he didn't overplay anything and he was great.
Yeah.
Again, Ramsey again is, you know, casting off what he looked like last year, where he was, you know, terrible at times, and now he's starting to become the players that the Dragons fans, you know, have been begging to bring into the team.
Yeah, and Amon had some good moments as well.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to take time. I think his style of game is going to take a while to settle into and find its the NRL version of his game. I'm sure he was a superstar coming up with the, you know, the fancy stuff that he's got. I just feel that he's probably got to take a few lumps for that game.
Just don't drop him. Just let him yeah, in there with the
only
time
way
to, do
to
it,
get
you know?
That is to get reps, and you can't get him if you're playing reserve grade. So for South, I felt like they were starting to find a decent vein of form and play towards their potential if they, you know, even if they still had a way to go. But this game sets them back significantly, I thought. South really shouldn't have let the Dragons get anywhere near them. Instead, the Dragons blew them off the park in 40 minutes.
Yeah, and we saw Ilias get hooked pretty early on in the piece.
Mm.
But honestly, there was one sort of bad miss he had with the Ramsey try, I think. But honestly, like, maybe was he just being hooked because someone had to be hooked to kind of try and wake him up or something? Because Campbell Graham was getting fucked up.
Yeah.
He was getting fucked up. But Cam Murray was getting fucked up. Like, I mean, there are a lot of players who should know a lot fucking better.
Yeah. And I guess someone like Murray could cop it, and he's probably the type of leader that would. Yeah. And it would send more of a message to the rest of the playing group than taking your rookie halfback and hooking him and jolting his confidence when he's already taking enough of a beating this year, given that he stepped into Reynolds' shoes.
And just with the incessant fucking Adam Reynolds.
Or Reynolds' moon boots, if you will.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And with the constant, oh yeah, you know, Broncos won the trade kind of theme to you know, news articles and things like that. I mean, Paul Cunt was already under enough fucking pressure.
Exactly.
And, you know, I guess it'll, you know, say a lot about the coach and him, you know, how he bounces back. And sure. I guess if, you know, if nothing else, he's got a couple of weeks to bounce back.
Exactly.
And get his head straight.
Anyway, fuck the Dragons.
Second half, I mean, the Rabbits went back-to-back really, you know, really quickly, but the Dragons had a period there with the player in the bin. But they were, you know, they were okay. I think they were sitting on the lead a little bit in the second half. The opportunity certainly didn't open up like they did in that first half. But at the same time, the Rabbits, apart from when they just went bang-bang early in the second half there, once that tide was stemmed, they didn't really look like they were going to run them down either.
And I don't think the Dragons are quite as yet the side that goes on with it. You know, I think they took advantage of the opportunities in the first half and they were good enough to do that, but they're not clinical to then, you know, like you say, withstand what the Rabbitohs could throw at them and then put another three or four tries on to continue the route.
Yep. Nice. You got socials there?
Socials?
I was just wondering if you had socials certainly this time, do. Or if you were having socials off because you were dead.
No. I'll tell you what, socials never sleep. Brendan, he said, Lomax seems to be on the game plan of getting Cody Walker's head tonight, and it's working. Walker is defending like he's been training with Noffa. One-Eyed Tiger, he said, Souths have kicked themselves out of the competition again. Devonhead said, so Mars bars melt faster when you're jumping up and down celebrating try after try after try. Who knew? And Warren, he said, so Souths are getting flogged with 11% possession at the 30-minute mark, so Dimitri decides the halfback needs to be benched. Mm. What the fuck? His forwards are getting flogged, and his captain, 5'8", is carrying on like a pork chop, but I think taking the halfback off will fix the problem.
And they never had the ball to do anything anyway. Like, I mean, they were right, like with the way that the possession was at that time. Like, what was he supposed to fucking do?
It reeks of, like, do you remember the shit with Ben Hunt? When St. George had him and he wore seven, but it was, well, okay, you can play at seven, but then if we're down and we need to come back, I'm benching you and putting fucking Whittip in and like just weird shit like that.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, how the fuck are you supposed to develop somebody? And they go, oh, okay, so this is what I need to do. If we're down by 30, this is how I get us back into the game. As fucking impossible as that is. You know, how do you do that from the bench? Yeah, it makes no sense.
Yeah, I would agree.
Anyway. All right. On to the next one.
That's all socials, okay. The Cowboys, 28, defeat the mighty Manly Sea Eagles, 26. Brookie, the Cowboys tries to Valentine Holmes a double. Nanai, Robson, and Lemuelu with tries. Val four conversions. Manly's 26 came through a double to Christian Tuipulotu, a double to Lachlan Croker in the fucking game of his career, and Rubes with the other try and three of five conversions. This one was fucking like the fucking result of the game overshadows the fact that it was probably like the fucking certainly 70 minutes the best performance of the season by far from Manly. And poor old Lachlan Croker had fucking best game of his career. Well, certainly, if not the best game of his career, the best like 5 or 7 minutes of his career where he went like 40-20, try. and it was like that rare, the only time I've ever really seen something like that from a player who's kind of like a maligned player and a player that doesn't, you know, get a lot of like accolades or anything was earlier in the season when Ray Stone had that fucking worldie to finish the Storm off.
It was a similar
sort of thing to that where you're just a guy that, you know, cops it and he's fucking just has a great time. And it's so fucking disappointing because they, like, it was for 70 minutes a fucking great, great performance. I've got some massive problems with the turning point of the fucking game, which was the try that was where when you've got Sutton as your referee, you're kind of always half wondering how he's going to try and fuck you. But much to his credit, Sutton actually was pretty much down the line. And that try he sent up, the one that turned the game, that he sent up as a no try because the Cowboys player was offside. And then the bunker looked at it and goes, oh, yeah, he ran 10 metres when he ran like 4 to 6 metres. Six is me being, you know, generous. And then the mistake from the bunker was what gave them the impetus to kind of jump up and you know, pump themselves up. And then, like, the last fucking couple of minutes were obviously unforgivable. From the, you know, because I mean, they still had the opportunity to close it out, but you know, the Cowboys had their fucking heads up after that one, and the rest is fucking history. Also, that fucking try that who scored that try? Was it Valentine Holmes? The one where Cohen Hess jumped up and like in the contest with Ruben Garrick, and then sort of the ball sort of flew backwards, and then they kicked it from right over to the left, and then I think it was Val that scored that try. Fucking. That try as well was ridiculous. They go, they send it up and they check for the contact, which was fine. Like, I had no problem with that. They checked with the fucking way the ball came out. It was fine. I had no problem with that. But what they didn't check was the fact that fucking Hess was a meter in front of the kicker and was offside in the first place. And this shit like that from the bunker, it drives me fucking crazy. And it's not this game as well. It's like, it seems to be happening to me like 4 or 5 times every fucking week. And, when you've got a bunker that can look at stuff over and over and over again with all the angles, I think that, you know, you can forgive referees. I cannot forgive the bunker. But also, I cannot fucking forgive the fucking Manly Ring Seagulls for the last 3 minutes of that fucking game because the shit was fucking not good enough. And fucking, yeah. And it sullied what would have been a fucking great win.
A loss sullied what would have been a great win. Story of my fucking rugby league sporting career, Nathan.
Yeah, but I mean, the closest the Tigers have come to that great win was that Titans game. And I mean, that wasn't a great win.
I've got to love how you just posture it up. You're like, this cunt, he's fucking stepping up. Oh, fucking crushing.
How very fucking dare you? Let's remind you who he fucking supports.
But there's enough for both clubs here, I think.
Like, agreed.
Manly haven't been spoken about in the same circles as the Cowboys this year. You know, there's that top tier again of teams, and while Manly were probably in the second tier coming into the end of last year, they really haven't been there or even thereabouts this year. Whereas the Cowboys have. The Cowboys have been seen as the big improvers, the form team of the competition. You know, they took out Melbourne. They had a really good performance against Penrith. You know, flogging Parramatta. And for Manly to be in that game with them, I think there's enough for them to take out of it. That, okay, they're considered to be in the upper echelon.
After the 2 weeks, I think. After having 2 weeks off, then they might start taking things out of it.
That's it. But for the cows, that belief is priceless. That belief to be in situations where it's not over until they decide it's over. That's the sort of stuff that will galvanise that group even further. And I still love the way that the Cowboys' success is spread across that team. You know, everyone to a man was in there and was contributing and have improved incrementally over what they were producing last year. I think that's the big win for that team.
I think that highlights the difference between a team like the Cowboys, very much the epitome of team, whereas the Broncos, you know, you can, with what they've got from Reynolds, he does make the guys around him better. But if Reynolds was, touch wood, out for the season, would you back the Broncos to make the eight as opposed to if him in the side? Whereas the Cowboys,
would you back the Broncos to get better, continue the way they are, or drop off if that was the case? I reckon it might rub off eventually. You know what I mean? The Reynolds rub. I think if he was ruled out for the season, I think that their performances would get gradually worse across the rest of the season. Like I don't think they could maintain or improve without, you know what I mean, without him.
But I don't think that the Cowboys would spiral if you took, like, if you took several out for the season, fair enough. But
yeah,
there's not, like, maybe a, you know, a Tao Malolo is probably going to have a big impact. But it's to Jay's point, I think
some of their young guys, I think their young guys have got him covered.
Mm.
Like, you know, maybe not numerical statistical thing, but I think in terms of impact.
Like, I appreciate your point, but a season's a long time. I think if you take Val Holmes out of that side over a whole season, that would severely affect it. There's probably half a dozen guys in there that they couldn't afford to lose for a season.
Yeah,
but just over the course of an 80-minute game, there's enough of, you know, like you were saying.
Yeah, I was agreeing with you though, right?
No.
And I think it's important. It'd be important if like Manly could lose Marty to Power for the season, because one of the
my key point wasn't teams losing players they want to lose.
because one of the key things in this game was with the opening rotation there with garlic sauce on, the Cowboys scored 0 points, and when they took him off, they scored the three tries when they took him off with 8 minutes to go, and they scored the two tries in the first half when he went off for the first stint, and Marty to Power fucking offers nothing. Cunt's washed. I mean, he must have to retire at the end of the year because I can't see who's going to want to throw him a contract unless, like, the Dragons maybe, because, I mean, he's probably an upgrade on Aaron Woods. But, like, but other than that, sorry, the Dragons. I mean, like, so I can't see where he would fucking end up. But, my God, what a fucking liability.
The Tigers.
Yeah, well, you know, homecoming of sorts, right?
It was on
the
tip of my tongue, but I couldn't bring myself to say it.
Yeah, it was homecoming of sorts. And the other pleasing thing is, of course, the Cowboys went through this season with some ridiculous stat, and I can't remember the exact fear, but it was like something like they hadn't conceded a point between like the 40th and 60th minutes or some shit, and Manly scored most of the points in that period too. So I mean, that was kind of pleasing as well. But overall, like, I was fucking furious after this game, fucking to the point where, like, you know, that I haven't been almost ever. I've got to be honest. Maybe the 2007 grand final. I was pretty fucking angry after that game. But, like, honestly, like, I had a level of, like, to the point where I didn't watch a single fucking game on Saturday. I didn't go to bed till like 12:30, and I was just from literally fucking fuming. Like,
I stayed up all night just fucking rubbing the ears off it.
I was just no. I was too. The blood was all fucking. The blood was too hot. It was all fucking boiling. Like, I was just, there was no fucking. I was just like. But the next game made it a little bit better. So
there we go. So Joshua, he said, "How poetic that the no look pass is the final dagger."
Oh, fucking oath! Like, too. Let me start on him and fucking Jason Saab as well. I mean, it's a longer discussion to have about Josh Schuster, and the verdict won't be in for you know, probably not this time next year, but, like, you know, sort of April next year, probably we'll be able to talk about it and give, like, a sufficient verdict. But he is not my fucking 5'8". I'm going to go on the record right now.
There you go.
He is not my 6.
So Ben, a Cowboys fan, he said, well, we had to click into second gear for the last 10 minutes to get that win. Pretty easy for the boys. Michael. running it straight at you, Nate. He said, surely Nathan loses any privileges to describe a non-Manly team as faders. Parramatta finals run, plus Raiders second half efforts, plus Titans capitulations are nothing compared to what is the biggest choke in NRL history. You've earned it, Manly. Well done. Ouch. Brendan.
Fucking idiot. Who was that guy? What's that guy's full name? And click on his post and tell me where he lives. And let me Google his address.
The background of his picture is green. It's very green. I'll leave it at that. Brendan, he said, maybe the highest paid player in the game could spend some of his wages on extra ball security practice. You would think getting paid all that money would make you good enough to not lose your team the game. You would.
Well, he didn't lose the team the game. I mean, that was the mistake that ultimately was the end of it. But, I mean, through the game, I mean, the amount of tries that he generated, his kicking game was fucking unbelievable through that game. And overall, his game was very good. But what a fucking unfortunate, you know, it's a fucking attempted hero play, which is just, I get that fucking players, you know, that are in that position want to, you know, do that shit. But
is there a luck thing?
You could throw, oh, there's a fucking huge luck.
Like, if I cast my mind back, one of the differences between, you know, not that it's this fucking simple, but you look at somebody like Joey and somebody like Kamali.
Yep.
It was that when Joey went for these plays, they came off. And when Kamali did it, they got fucking intercepted.
Yep.
Also, I mean, but on this, I mean, this was also like, you know, great Cowboys defense as well. I mean, whereas instead of trying to fucking, like, I get trying to win the game, but there's like 3 minutes left, 2.5 minutes left. The alternative is you could just turn it inside and just run it straight up the guts through the forwards for fucking four tackles and try and dribble it in and fucking earn a repeat set, yeah, or something. Like, I mean, which, you know, doesn't win the game, but it takes most of the time off the clock and, you know, and it gives you, puts you in a better position, you know, sort, yep, of that sort of thing. So,
yeah, that's it.
A lot of things had to go, like, you know, exactly the wrong fucking way or the right way if you're a Cowboys fan. And unfortunately, it did.
Richard, you said, Lachlan Croker played the game of his life. The sort of performance that deserves something. A defeat is something, I suppose. Yeah. On to the next one.
All right, the Melbourne Storm 32 defeated the Brisbane Broncos 20 down at the Korean Housewife in Melbourne, where they play all their games. The Melbourne Storm's 32 tries to Tui Kamikamika, Cameron Munster, a double to Jerome Hughes, and a double to Dean Aramia. Meany, four conversions. Broncos 20, a double to Oates, a try to Selwyn Cobo, a try to Ezra Mam. Stags, two conversions from four attempts.
I think this one highlighted some of the glaring differences between the two sides and where they're at with respect to the rest of the competition. I think Brisbane did really well and controlled the first half, which against the Storm for any team is a quality effort. They then had a couple of shaky moments just before half time and let the Storm right back into the fight through Hughes, and Melbourne took that and turned it into a win. Like, that, the Broncos just took their foot off their throat for, you know, for a few plays, and Melbourne sensed it, executed, and took control of the game. And it was impressive to see just the Storm really identify that, you know, there was an opportunity there and be good enough to take it. I think for all of the raps on Munster at the moment, and he's, you know, as an individual, he would be the form player of the competition. But I think Hughes is, and we've
this got, was the Hughes show, though. This, yeah, game was the Hughes show.
He's, yeah, really becoming, you know, he's a little bit more low key and he's a different personality to Munster, but he's becoming, to conservatively, just as important, if not more important, to what the Storm do.
Yep, yep. I think Bellamy would have been super happy with this game, except for the very end of the game, because this, once it, like, the Storm stayed in there when Brisbane had all the running, they clawed, yeah, their way back into it, then they got right on top, then they pulled away to have a very good win, like a huge margin, and it was just that intercept at the end that just brought it in just a little bit closer to kill it for 13 plus betters. But also, I think that would have been absolutely infuriating to Bellamy, because otherwise it was a game where they had a stiff challenge posed to them,
yeah,
overcame it, dominated them, And they just needed to finish it off. So, you know, I guess there's still a little bit of work to do.
Fair.
Hmm. What do we have to say on the Seocials? Alistair. He said, I was surprised to see Glennie play 7 for the Broncos. You should stick for Diggers. Terry, he said, when you order Alf on Wish and they send you Tyrone Roberts. Kurt. Now, fuck, even I didn't know this.
Tyrone Roberts, though, he played well.
He wasn't bad. He was not bad. I mean, considering he's not as bad as what I expected him to be.
He hasn't played for like 16 years or something, and he came out and put like a solid fucking stint in there.
And overcoming the trauma of the death of Tyson Campbell at the same time.
I dare say that it, actually that's when the Storm started clawing their way back into it when Tyrone was off.
Mm.
Kurt, now this I can't remember if I knew this or not, but fuck. Kurt said, of course the Tigers had Jerome Hughes at some point. Did you know that, Glennie?
No.
There you go. There's another one.
Fuck.
Oh, there's another one.
Halfback Hughes, fucking, then you got Pappy and you got Fox on the wing. Where are you going to stick Teddy after a while? I guess Pappy's going to be just like, what, 14 or something, is he? Or on the other wing, maybe?
Teddy's in the centres at this stage.
Yeah.
Richard, he said, Hughes is a next-level player. What a performance. He controlled everything beautifully. Munster chimed in whenever needed. Olam, Kafusi, Kamakamika, and Meany also had standout games. For the Broncos, Oates, Carrigan and Roberts were well, but they just were outclassed. When Roberts went off, they brought on super sub Billy Walters with expected results. He did fuck all until the game was over, got a highlight reel moment with an intercept. Too late, Billy. There we go. A rare, genuine game review from our listeners.
I like it.
Fucking novelty.
More of that.
Yeah, good.
The Sharkies 18 defeat the Gold Coast Titans 10. What are we going to call this one at Coffs Harbour? The Hot Tub Time Machine. At the Hot Tub Time Machine, a crowd of just over 9,000 in attendance. The Sharkies tries to Sione Katoa, Matt Moylan, Blake Braley. Nico, 2 conversions and a penalty goal. The Titans 10 tries to Firma and Marzu with a conversion to Isako.
There's reports that we discussed a few weeks ago that, you know, if the Titans lost, you know, in a blowout scoreline, that Holbrook was going to be sacked.
Yeah.
The Titans are doing just enough to keep games close without actually ever winning them or looking like they're going to win them. I think Holbrook might coach them forever.
Yeah, well,
he's never going to get sacked.
I mean, there was the opportunity for him to get blown out against Souths a week before, and they just clawed back some junk time to get it to like 30-16 or something. Exactly. So just enough. And then this one, this game was fucking dire.
It was bad.
Like, honestly. There were no. I didn't see any Sharkies fans willing to claim this game as a win.
Mm.
Oh, everyone was just glad it was over.
Yeah.
And on that note, I've got nothing to fucking say. Nothing to say about it. No, I award this game no points, and may God have mercy on us all.
There we go. Look, the only thing of relevance in this one is that longtime fan Super Grover has officially become the best and most common commentator on Sharks games over across all of our social media platforms. So he actually comments more on the Sharks than he does on his own team.
Just when you thought you couldn't like that bloke any less.
You might have muted hashtag Stormageddon, that's all. Because that's all he's got to say on his stupid-ass Storm games.
No, that's it. Look, you know, again, in a polite society, whilst an idea may be abhorrent, we must respect people's right to have it. So no, I have not muted hashtag Stormageddon. I haven't encouraged him to stop using Stormtard.
for him to still call you his podcast friend?
That's it. But no, he officially likes the Sharks more than the Melbourne Storm. Nortz, he said, at this stage, having a bath with a toaster coincide with the power outage. Fuck these cuts.
Make up for the time you stuck your hand in the fucking power socket.
Winston said, Sharks scrape home against cellar dwellers. Contenders, my white German ass. And Solzy said, this was a horrible game. There wasn't even any funny shit to comment about it.
Yeah, it really wasn't. All right, the Panthers 40 defeated the Warriors 6 over at the Strawberry Shortcake. strawberry sponge cake stadium. That was 40 to tries to Leota, Edwards, May, Yo, Martin, and a double to To'o. Five conversions to Cleary and one to Crichton. The Warriors a try to Josh Curran and a conversion to Reece Walsh. Obviously, you were dead, so you didn't go to that game, I'm going to assume.
No, I didn't go to that game.
Because you're a responsible member of society.
Yes.
Not disseminating your AIDS upon everybody else.
Fucking walk around breathing on poor cunts.
Right.
Fuck, the Warriors fans have been through enough. They don't need me out there fucking sending them into disease depression.
Make them not be able to go home because they can't get on the plane because they're too sick.
Yeah, that's it. I'd say, like, it probably struck me a little bit bittersweet, this game, as in the Warriors have given up so fucking much, like so fucking much to be able to keep the competition going over the last couple of years. You know, if you remember at the very beginning of COVID, that was the linchpin. If they couldn't get them here, because they had to get them here and through quarantine and all that stuff, and they might not be allowed to stay and da, 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 da. Then there were the issues with family and being away from them. But the end of it just left me feeling a little bit sad for the players that they weren't, I guess, supported more from a fucking coaching and senior player effort point of view. That's, I guess, the bit that's disappointed me most. And it's, you know, like Sean Johnson, and a lot's been made of him in recent times, and the shine seems to have gone off his career. He's no longer the media darling that he once was. Not selected for any representative honours at the moment, whereas up until now, he was just a shoo-in. It was, okay, well, he'll be in the Kiwi squad. But I really would have liked this to have been a game where it meant something to the locals. You know, the locals have had them there as a home team for a long time. Or it meant something to the local community. But it really wasn't like that at all. So from Penrith's point of view, they kept on doing what they did. They got a bunch of players out on representative duties this week, and I don't think they could have asked for a kinder introduction. Mm. They all just went out there and had a slightly harder than opposed training drill.
Yeah, they put 40 on them without getting out of second gear.
Yeah, so that's it. So, again, it's fantastic to see the guys get out there and just run through those exercises with such precision. That little trick scrum play that Cleary ran to put Edwards through was beautiful. But then you start to double question that and go, well, hang on, how many teams does that work on?
Mm.
You know, yes, it looked pretty, and yes, it was executed in the most slick of fashions. But, you know, how often can you run that without poor Dylan ending up in a fucking concussion ward because someone tells him not to be a smart ass? Really. again, good effort from the boys. I'm sad that the Warriors couldn't put up more fight.
So, with all that being said on the Warriors, before you get to the socials, predictions for the Warriors at Mount Smart. Do you think that their mind has been on the return the last couple of weeks, and that's as deep as it gets?
Well, I guarantee you they will blow the Tigers off the park.
Yeah, and what about when they play a real team? Like, who they got after the Tigers?
They'll lose.
Right.
Because it'll be an adrenaline dump, it'll be a spike of emotion. But once that party's over, everyone will remember that they're Kiwis, be fucking like, more, you know.
Once the Australian boys have gone and had their first look at fucking Hobbiton and had a bungee jump.
But like, let's be real for a second here. Like, playing 80 minutes of football is fucking hard. Like, it is fucking hard. And at the moment, they're not willing to do the hard work at the end of the game. Now, I'm not making any sort of personal slide on them there. It takes a special, almost psychotic level of motivation and competitiveness and drive to play any sort of professional sport, let alone the hardest contact sport in the world, where the game is designed to be a war of attrition. That's how this fucking game is designed, to see who can go harder for longer and run over the top of the other side. You know? I don't know who the Warriors have that brings that out in the rest of their players?
Josh Curran. He brings it out. Sorry, he brings it out of himself.
Yeah.
I don't know that he is quite at a level of his career that he can extract it from, certainly not from all the players in the squad.
That's it. You know, well, Walsh is a fucking firecracker. You could see, like, in the after the game when they're talking about, you could see all he wanted to talk about was how fucked off he was with that try bombed close to the end. You know, so he's obviously a harsh critic for himself. But there's some work to be done in that club culturally about what it means to get in and flog yourself. And again, I'll preface it with, it's easy for us to sit here and talk about a lack of effort. You know, try and do anything at all after you go for a fucking jog around the block. I'd be absolutely rooted at it. My concentration would be out the window. I'd start dropping fucking decimals everywhere. And these guys are expected to make decisions after 80 minutes of intense activity. But I'm not sure much changes for the Warriors at all this season. And moving forward, especially with that coaching void, I don't know who they're attracting.
But they may have their coach already, the man who's destined to lead them finally out of the doldrums. So I had a look while you were talking. I had a quick look at the draw ahead. So yeah, you got Tigers by Eels.
Yeah, that Eels game is a challenge.
So you reckon 2 out of 3?
They should. What does the rest of the draw look like though? Are they just in Mount Smart for the rest of the year, or do they have to come back to Australia for four?
They've got to play away games though, right?
Yeah, fuck.
Let me have a look. Hang a second.
They've done enough of those.
No, that's right. Let me have a look. So then,
could you imagine if they played all the games at home?
They're away to the Eels, as a matter of fact. So that's and then they're still away. Then they're in Canberra against Canberra. Then they're home against the Storm. So that's what, two games that they've got in New Zealand. Then they're away to the Rabbits at Sunshine Coast. Then they're home to Bulldogs. That's 3. Away to the Cowboys. Away to the Panthers. And home to the Titans. So, yeah, there you go. They got 4 games out of about the next, what, fucking 10.
Yeah,
it's all fucked. It's dead. They're over.
Yep.
Burn it down. Burn it down is done. Switch the lights out. And the you got to do the socials. Did you have any?
Joe. Said Dylan Edwards to replace Teddy as fullback for New South Wales and Australia. There you go. Do you hear that? Like that stat through the game? Like he's the only one of the Panthers starting 17 that's not playing rep footy this weekend.
Like, wow.
I mean, that's got to get, you've got to get in the bottom of some beers over that though, right? Like, yeah. I mean, really? He's like, fucking, why couldn't my mum go fuck the dude on holiday or something? Give me a chance. why couldn't Mrs. Edwards go and fucking got her groove back somewhere on a fucking beach?
Just scouring the family tree for a slutty grandma somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Michael, you said the Warriors need to drop Johnson. Play Harris Tavita, Bulk Manasseh together in the halves. It's a fucking problem, hey?
Yeah. It's funny now, and now the media have increasingly started talking about it as well.
Mm.
You know, so it's becoming something that's so obvious for everybody to see is the one of the big problems.
There you go, Hamish. He said, "Meanwhile, RTS hooked in the Super Final, challenging his inner warrior." There you go. I have no idea what happened in that game, and I have no interest in finding out. So, Hayden said, "Most of the Warrior supporters probably watched the Rugby Union game." All to be fucked there as the Auckland Blues got smacked around too. I bet the Warriors are looking forward to that first home game against the Tigers. It's probably the only shining light to come this year. Look at this fucking good deed you're doing, Glennie. You should be proud.
No. I'm fucking anticipating an absolute fucking blasting.
There we go.
Eels 26, Roosters 16, and Parramatta. The Eels' tries came through Dylan Brown, Isaiah Papali'i, Gutho, Sivo, and Marnie. Moses, 3 conversions. Roosters 16, a double to Suali. Tupanua with the other try. Sam Walker, 2 conversions. Glennie, tell me what happened. I didn't even watch this fucking game. I was still in the middle of a rage. I was at the bottom of a fucking rager hole.
Oh, that's unfortunate. I think the Roosters showed once again that they need Brandon Smith more than maybe we even thought. Their attack just isn't what we're used to from the Roosters, and they can't hang with the better attacking teams such as Parramatta for 80 minutes. And I'm still not 100% that Brandon Smith suits the Roosters' style, but he's certainly an upgrade on what they've got happening around the ruck and through dummy half at the moment. But I think Parra had another on game with their attack, which came directly off the back of absolute standout games from Campbell Gillard and Junior Paulo. Gillard run for over 200 metres from memory. And I don't know that I'm overly convinced on Parramatta either, to be honest. I don't think they've got the mental capacity and the grit to hang with the really good teams such as Melbourne and Penrith and come finals time. And I also, you know, the Roosters, for all they showed, you know, to get in, you know, through the first couple of weeks of the finals last year, they've had a low-key dip and they're not on the same level either. So, I don't think either of these teams win the comp.
Did you hear something about potential retirement of Keary?
Yeah, I heard some mumblings, but...
Yeah, I haven't seen anything concrete about it, yeah. Mm. But I guess, I mean, the Roosters are, if you know nothing else, a club that's super cautious and overly cautious, which is probably how you should be. I mean, in terms of, like, you know, the concussions and, you know, and that sort of thing, brain injury.
Yeah.
Which you can't fault them on.
No.
Say what you like about the Roosters, but the way that they have publicly handled concussion in things like, well, no, you know, reporters asking, oh, Boyd Cordon is due back this week. I remember, Rob, I was like, well, who told you that? Oh, yeah. Well, that's the NRL's guidelines. Yeah, no, we go by what doctors say, not when the NRL tells us.
Yeah, yeah.
So, yeah, he's not even close to being back. So, the other thing, the Roosters are fucking vicious. And a concussion retirement, maybe the new a video of you doing coke off a toilet seat will surface.
Mm. Uncle Nick's throwing the brown paper bag full of photos of brain scans rather than MRIs rather than photos that his private investigator's taken of players with multiple surnames.
That's it. It'd be a shame because he fucking always punched above his weight. But yeah, what do you do? It's not worth your fucking golden years, whatever it is. Terry, he said. NYC Cup returns. Defence is not permitted. No, it was not. And Jordan, he said, in decades to come, Nat and Egan Butcher will see this game on television. They'll look at each other. One will say, do you remember this game? The other will reply, no, to you. And he shake his head. The first brothers to fail HIAs. What a record. Dean said, Tedesco's statistics show high performance. Luckily for him, there are no stats which show poor decisions resulting in turnovers and missed opportunities. Is the Teddy thing just because he was so fucking high that you know?
No, I still maintain that last year he had to carry far more of the workload because that team was fucked with injuries and experience in the halves and playmaking positions. So he took it upon himself with some success to carry much more of the workload. And then you've seen that sort of seep into, you know, it's seeped into his performances in the last Origin game where there were a lot of opportunities missed because he was just hogging it. And and it didn't really come through in game one of Origin this year, which makes me think that there's some potential hope for him. But again, in a team that's not performing and, you know, how it should week in, week out with inexperience in the halves, and like instability in the halves too, just with injury and stuff. I think, you know, that, you know, the Hog Desco mentality is still there.
There you go.
Right. Save for socials.
That's it.
Raiders 20 to feed the Knights 18 down in Canberra. The Raiders 20 tries to Trotrick, Timokoil, Savage and Hudson Young, Fogarty 2-4 conversions. The Knights 18 tries through Glennie's mate, Kurt Mann. Matthew Croker, Edric Lee, Ponga, 3 conversions from 3 attempts.
Raiders have now won 5 of their last 7.
This was a game that was like, I mean, I'm loath to say it was like a faders game because I mean there was a binning. Yeah. The Knights came back via a man advantage and scored two of their tries, you know, during that period. But it was a game that they had a good lead, lost the good lead, but got it done.
Yeah, I think they completely controlled the first half. Ironically, a try to the worst player in the NRL started turning things for the Knights, and the sin binning early in the second half, as you mentioned, very nearly cost them dearly, and this was a long way from convincing against the Knights, who have been struggling. The Raiders, you'd have to say, have been on an upward tick of form. Xavier Savage had probably the type of game that Stewart was alluding to when, you know, he bristled in the press conference. Yep. That people have been pushing to play him in first grade. And he's like, I'm still trying to teach Xavier the ins and outs of the game. He's a young player. And yep. And this game was I thought it highlighted. He did some great things, but had a few moments that is exactly what Stewart said. I'm loath to agree with Ricky Stewart, but...
And saved from, like, you know, another terrible one just by the slightest of knock-ons after, you know, heavy scrutiny from the bunker.
Yeah, that could legitimately have cost him the game.
Absolutely.
But credit to Stewart, though, just at the moment for continuing to give a player like Savage his reps and keep him, you know, keep him in first grade and run him. And he's made those comments publicly, which I would imagine haven't fallen on deaf ears for a young player. But, you know, I just think to have the coach stick with you is going to have a much more positive long-term effect than, like we said, with, you know, the Ben Hunt situation or what's happened with some of the young blokes at the Dragons, where they're in and out of the side and it's – I just think – you need to pump their tyres up.
And yep.
If you want him inside long term, you know?
And the King Kong balls of fucking Hudson Young playing in a Ricky Stewart coach side on the attack with, I think, on the second or third tackle.
Yeah.
Back row, putting the grubber in and chasing it up the score. Like, I mean, to have the balls, to have the vision. To see it was on, you know, to see that Ponga was up in the line because they were short, and then have the vision, and then have the ability to execute it, and the balls to actually go for it, with the game on the line like that. He's previously known for more for ripping people's fucking eyeballs out of their sockets, but that was a tremendously ballsy fucking play, and great work. Mm.
You would imagine Stewart pulls him aside in the locker room and says, mate, love the play, love the fact that you won us the game.
Don't
but
ever
if
fucking
you
do
ever
that
fucking do that again, I'll cut your nuts off.
That's it.
Well, I think he said, when they asked him about it after the game, he was saying that, like, that was something they identified on video, you know, that Ponga gets caught in the line and, you know, and they don't have anyone sweeping back there. So I have a feeling that he might have practiced it. It wasn't just one of those things that you sort of look at on video, it could happen, and it did happen, and he went for it, you know.
There has to be room for decent coaching still.
Yeah.
You know, there has to be room for that to be identified, be it by Ricky or by one of the other fucking.
Yeah, and maybe it wasn't Hudson that was identified to run that play if the eventuality did come up, he's paid attention, he's seen it happen, and he's gone for it, you know.
Yeah. Ross, he said, for fuck's sake, not sure how much longer I can do this. For my own sanity, maybe it would be better to be a Tigers supporter.
No.
Come on now.
Send your applications to Glennie.
Aren't you ahead of the Tigers? You're far ahead of the Tigers. What are you fucking talking about? You're whole three places up the ladder.
That's it. Jake, he said, whoever the Raiders attacking coach is needs to be sacked. You watch any other team play, they spread with intent and formation. For as long as I can remember, the Raiders just rely on individual plays from one person for their points. Xavier Savage is the definition of rocks and diamonds, and I think he makes more negative than positive at the moment. I'd like to edit and double down on Savage not being there yet after the last 15 minutes. On a good note, Tarpany and Young are immense every week. Here you go. Hayden, with 5 minutes to go, This looked to be in the bag for the Knights. Injuries and no interchange left the Faders out. Were out there with nothing and no one left on the bench. Just when you thought the Faders were going to fade in the second half, they pull some shit off like chip kick behind with Ponga stuck at the ruck and win it in the last minute. What the fuck did I just watch? Well, I think you described perfectly what you just watched.
The Doggies, 36, defeat the Tigers, 12. In Parramatta, the Doggies, 36 tries to Jeremy Marshall-King. Karaz, Morin, Shoop, and a double to Jake Averillo. Burton, 6 from 6 conversions. The Tigers, 12 tries to Noffa and James Tamau, and 2 conversions to Luke Brooks. Unfortunate start for Alex Twol this week, where he was denied his chance to get his try by dying off the kickoff, essentially. And it didn't get any fucking better there, Glennie. What say you?
Fuck all to say about this fucking rubbish. What a pack of cunts. Playing like a team that wants to get their coach sacked, to be quite honest. Some of their structure and some of their ability to respond to broken play situations was fucking diabolical, which is terrible when you've got guys like Burton and Fox in the side. Averillo carved them up a few times. And to be honest, as a fan, I've said it before, you want to see effort. And I didn't fucking see enough of it, or any of it, in large part. And to say they're a long way off the best sides in the competition is a fair understatement. But to come to the realisation that they're actually a fair ways off the fucking Bulldogs... the fuck out of here.
it's an interesting point you raise. Like, how does it feel that these teams have inversed and crossed paths in their journey this season? As in, the Bulldogs started as absolute fucking spoon favourites. And the Tigers started off playing some half decent quality football and with signs of improvement. You had fucking what's his name, Mr. Million Touches a Game?
Sting
Tantra.
How many touches did he have in this game?
Not enough. He should be the only one that touches the ball.
But whereas the Dogs have improved, and you know, it's things like that combination with Burton and Fox is growing. They're both growing in confidence. The Tigers are regressing.
Absolutely. And it's as a direct result of mismanagement and poor decisions from board level.
I don't know why the Tigers board and fans are not screaming at the top of their fucking lungs for the abolishment of guaranteed contracts in the NRL. Because they're fucking...
Are you saying... The Tyrone Peachey contract was a bad one.
So
the answer is yes. That's exactly what you should be saying.
If the Tigers need to attract some talent, we know that's the case, right? How do they get that talent?
Who's going to want to go there?
Well, not only who's going to want to go there, but who's going to want to take anyone that currently is there?
Yeah. Well, the answer to both questions is no one.
I can't see a way out of it.
I'll tell you the way they see the way out of it is to continue to sign players like... And this isn't just a Tyrone Peachey problem, right? But Tyrone Peachey is another one of those players that has bounced around a few clubs, has a certain reputation going around... James Robertson, another one. Has a certain reputation going around the NRL, and the Tigers fucking sign him on stupid money. $750,000 a year. Give me a fucking break.
And who that makes wasn't that and, decision. And that's it. And that $750,000 wasn't the result of a bidding war or anything either.
Yeah.
There was only one club after him.
Yeah. So. As I said before, it's not just a Tyrone Peachey problem. It's a far greater, deep-rooted issue within the club. Unfortunately, every weekend, those problems morph into these types of performances on the field. And six times over the last 10 years or so, we've decided that the answer to that is to sack the coach and continue with our recruitment policies of signing players that on ridiculous money because they have a certain profile that someone yeah. in a fucking desk, sitting behind a desk, stretching their quads at the center of excellence, thinks that's a fucking good idea. Like, that profile is worth $750,000 to $800,000, regardless of their performances on the field.
I mean, you get Uppy next year, right? And he's a big addition.
Huge.
He's a big addition. But...
Which stops him putting fucking Little in the side. Mm. Let's be real.
What impact does the culture have on a guy like Appy? I back him as a professional to continue to put in, but we all know in the NRL it's...
See, here's the thing. I back him to put in until it becomes apparent that no one else is. Right? And here's the thing. Look at Tamau. Tamau's last couple of seasons with Penrith, he was the consummate professional.
Mm.
You know? There was none of that lazy bullshit on the field. Now, given he wasn't been asked to do the job he is at the Tigers, but he's now in this place where it's like, oh, so no one actually gives a fuck. Oh, geez, okay. Fucking easy to settle down then.
Yeah. I can, to Nate, your question earlier in the show about Brooks being dropped, there's one argument about the timing of it, if it's legit. Which isn't helpful and certainly does nothing for Luke Brooks' confidence, which is, despite him getting up in front of the media at, you know, some of the press conferences and stuff like that and jawing off, he's not that guy. He's not an alpha guy that's just going to shut all that out. It's going to eat away at him. It shows in the way he plays the game and it shows in the way that he's responded over the last however many seasons since playing under Cleary. Once Cleary left, the knives came out for Brooks and he's not been the same player. I think it would actually benefit him if he was dropped, and I think it would benefit him even further if he went and played somewhere else. And I think a combination of competitors like Dewey and Jacko in the halves is a step in the right direction. But this, it's a fucking sorry state. It's a sorry state. If you're getting blasted by the Bulldogs like that and putting up not much of a fight 2 weeks
after your coach has been sacked, as well as the Bulldogs play, I mean, there were two concerning things for the Bulldogs, and they're both the West Tigers tries. First thing, the way that Fox got bamboozled by that kick for the try to Noffer. Makes me think, oh yeah, maybe Freddie did know what he was doing in regards to not selecting him because he looked fucking idiotic. Clueless, and not only was he clueless with the kick itself, but then he had plenty of himself and others with plenty of space and time to stop him from getting to that try line. Yeah. And he still found a way to score that try. And then the other thing is, I mean, like the game was won and I know people drop off and things like that, but letting Tamau dance through with minimal footwork under the posts,
yeah,
was another embarrassing moment as well.
Yeah,
which just shows that just that slight you know massive improvement, but there's still the underbelly of that old Bulldog side lurking, trying to get back out.
Okay. Nice, Matthew said. Sometimes footy can be a simple game. Essentially, the Dogs move Jackson to the edge. Gives King and TPJ some room to work and also strengthens our edge defence. There you go. Nathan said, every try is just another dagger into Trent's Dogs coaching career.
Yep. That's it.
Revenge game for Mick Potter too.
Yeah. Ben, he said, serious question. Can the Dogs make the 8 and challenge on this current form?
No. Calm down.
Alexander, he said, Trent Barrett is the coaching equivalent of a weight vest for resistance training.
Yes, agreed.
Love that one. There we are. That's us.
Okay, so that was it. That was the games. And coming up this weekend, we have a standalone rep round. So how do these games all line up in terms of the timing? Let me just check the schedule here. Okay, so we have Women's Internationals. We got New Zealand. We got New Zealand versus Tonga on Saturday afternoon, which is going to be fucking great. And Samoa versus Cook Islands on Saturday after that one, out of Campbelltown. Fiji versus Papua New Guinea after that. And then we got the Origins on Sunday night. So what a fucking great weekend of action. And I think all of these games, you know, even if you're not a fan of internationals, I mean, all of these games have so much for fucking NRL fans because you get so much talent into the sides this year. I mean, for me, I'm loving it because they're like, you know, I can't wait to see Tonga, for example, because you've got, you know, three of, you know, the young stars from Manly in the Tongan side this year. Kieran Foran making his return to the Kiwis. And like, these sides are all fucking great. I mean, and when it comes to the World Cup, it's looking like some serious competition.
Yeah.
Especially coming out of the Kiwis. Like, the Kiwis and the Tongan sides look fucking great.
Tonga in particular.
And then probably to a lesser extent, you know, some onside. But fucking, there's like, these guys, if they can keep their groups together.
Yep.
And, you know, it makes for a good sort of final sort of six sides, or top six sides in the World Cup, you know?
Yeah, that's it.
State of Origin sides have been announced, and there's been some changes in the New South Wales side. So for New South Wales, I need to have my... There it is, game two. There it is. So through COVID and injury, New South Wales have had to change their centres, with Matt Burton coming in and joining Stephen Crichton in the centres. What other changes have we got? Appy will be starting at 9 and pushing Damien Cook to the bench in number 14. Talakai comes in 17. And look, I think that is a guy that has legitimate utility value, and he'll probably be more likely playing sort of a back rower role when he comes on. And Jakey Turbo has been recalled to the side. New South Wales realising they had no heart and they had no defensive ability. And so they brought in the fucking most likable person in the game and to hype up the squad, get the boys around him, and get back on level terms in this series. The Queensland side. So Xavier Coates injured, Ruben McCotter injured, and the Hammer all injured. So Bo Firma, Corey Oates, and Walsh come into 22-man squad. Taulagi moves into the wing position in number 5. Big Tino moves to lock. Collins comes into the starting side at prop, and Jai Arrow on the bench. And smartly, I think they left Carrigan on the bench as well in Queensland, because I think that him coming on after the initial exchanges was one of the keys to victory in game one.
Huge moment. Huge moment.
What do you reckon, Glennie?
I like the Queensland side. I think, despite the amount of changes they've had to make, I think it's actually a more, combination-wise, it's a more stable side for New South Wales. Obviously, between, you only have to look through the side. You've got To'o, Burton, Crichton, Luai, Cleary, Appy, Liam Martin, and Isaiah Yeo, that all have played a hell of a lot of football together. Certainly familiar with one another's games. And I think you're right about Jake Turbo. He is... I was surprised he was left out of game one, and I think he's... I don't think his form has been that far off to not be there.
And I think his form in particular, after he got dropped and he was the captaining Manly for 2 weeks there, and it was great. And so I think it made it a pretty easy decision for Freddie.
Yeah. I just especially think looking at the way that they, defense in the middle. His defense in the middle against a Papali'i is crucial. There's no giving him, and the way he axes blokes, just I think that was a massive moment for Queensland. That just the amount of ground that they were able to get over the advantage line in game one, and then with Cotter and Carrigan off the back of that, they just never let their foot off the pedal. But Jake Turbo's defense has the capacity to knock those guys back on their ass and halt them. And I think New South Wales missed that. But
yeah, it's not just a case of the missed tackles as well. I mean, he's also the highest error producing in defence guy. Like, I mean, his tackling as well pops the ball out more than anyone else. Exactly. And, you know, which is crucial.
I'll tell you what, my worry is, and the changes are good, and I support the changes, you know, for the most part. But what undid New South Wales in game one was Freddie's rotations. So he can make all the fucking changes in the world. But the concern I still have, and it was when he fucking named that side. As soon as he named that first side and came out and fucking said that we've got Daniel Tupou on the side to combat the fucking leaping ability of Queensland.
Has to remind you of the days, like I said, the Bo Scott in the centres.
Yeah,
and
that's it, you know?
Yeah.
And again, nothing against Jakey, and it was definitely needed to shore up some defensive attitude in the centre. But if he's gone in there with the mindset of, oh, fuck, we need to contain Queensland, then that doesn't fucking speak well for rotations during the game. So hopefully...
And do you think it was as much Freddie not quite getting the timing of his changes and rotations right and Slater absolutely fucking nailing his?
Yes.
Slater nailed it, but also Freddie selecting Stephen Crichton on the bench was fucking stupid. And I don't know if it really mattered when he introduced him to the side. Like, it was going to change things that didn't need to be changed, because there's never a point where you need to replace a fucking center in the game.
Yeah,
you know, this time, I mean, I know nominally, you know, Talakai is a center in quotes, but he's a fucking back rower that's, you know, that can play in the centers. And so he has utility value, and he will be part of the forward rotation side, and he'll attack edges, and you know, and hopefully bring his center the speed and footwork that has, you know, characterized his, you know, stint in the centers with the bulk, you know, that he a forward would have.
Yeah, and look, he's probably reached the highest pinnacle that any Sharks player could hope to, in that he's essentially being asked to be a poor man's Bill Kickow. So. You know, this is probably a career highlight for him, where he can emulate a proper football player.
So, I think Angus Crichton's lucky to be there, in my opinion.
Yeah,
I would agree. They need to get the brain genius. So, I mean, like, you know, is Billy Slater using Kevy's brain genius to brainwash the players before the game? Because they really like Freddie needs to hire him so he can just get him and get in Talakai's head and just be like going like. Queensland side, I'm going to read it out for you. Number one, Morgan Harper. In number two jersey, Morgan Harper. In the three jersey, Morgan Harper. In the four, Morgan Harper. And just brainwash him into believing they're all Morgan Harper. And just
fucking Manchurian candidate.
Yeah, exactly.
He's just seeing everyone.
In which case, six tries to fucking Talakai and a big win to the Mighty Blues. Look, I think this is a much better side. I mean, like, I love the idea of if you're going to make an interchange, you know, like in the hooking, fucking great to have someone like Cook come on when people are, you know, when players are tired. Fucking great idea.
That's it.
I think, Paul will do the job. I think Crichton will do a job. Talakai, you know, I want to think the best. And the fact that there's just so many combination ready Penrith players in the, you know, in the extended spine, if you want to talk, you know, 2022 with 13 and include that in there, then surely that's got to give, if nothing else, that gives Cleary options on both sides. And so if there's any discomfort or anything that was, you know, causing him to go through bad options last time, surely the fact that he's got like Penrith players on either side means that he can generate something this time. And then I would just like to hope that he, you know, does something about his long kicking as well. Prediction. Give me a score, Glennie.
Queensland 12-10.
Not many points in this game, you're saying?
No, tight game.
Tight game. Tight, tight, tight.
22-6 New South Wales.
Oof.
I think Queensland got 12 points in them. I agree with Glennie. I think New South Wales, with the renewed combinations and the fact that it's all on the line, and
must win.
And the ghosts of Perth last year haunting Queensland. I think New South Wales will win this game by a scoreline of 30-12.
Whoa. There we go.
Bank it. House on. Let's well go. Done. Let's go on, Blues. I don't know. I mean, I don't want to make any bold predictions on these.
You just
on these other other internationals. Let me finish my sentence, cunt.
No,
Jesus,
Jesus Christ, Glennie, 30-12, mate. It's not a fucking huge flogging. You'll bounce back.
All fucking episode. We've just had our first podcast and offer. Glennie's fucking rushed up.
Fucking hell! These little A and B defenders fucking standing at attention, running.
Jesus Christ!
Running straight at me. I don't have any predictions really to make on these other games. I just can't wait to see. I can't wait to see the ceremonies at the starts of the games.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
I think they're. I particularly love the fucking the Fijian, but New Zealand Tonga. I expect to be a game of high intensity, and there's a ton of good players in there. And I'm loving the fact that you know Cole is starting fullback, and you got Christian and Homoli in that side as well. So I'm fucking very excited to see these games, and
bring it on.
That's about. That's yeah, that's about it, fellas.
That's us
done.
So, if you got anything else, say your piece right now. In the meantime, what do you think? Well, yeah, don't be like that.
You are.
If you really want to fuck Nathan, consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/TwillNation. Highest membership goes into a raffle.
grand final
weekend. Fucking, it's a twilgasm. It's a private members part. Members orgy.
Imagine the influx of people we're going to get now. Everyone's like, I'm just here to fuck Nate.
Yeah. And look, you know, I'm here to fuck you all as well. So
I'll tell you what, it would be very fucking disappointing when you know before the weekend you're jazzed for it and you're like, oh, look, such a spread of raffle purchases to fuck me and this, and then you arrive there and every single ticket's been purchased under a pseudonym by Ned.
I was going to say the Mick. I was saying, look, you know, a man's word is his bond. Got to do what you got to do.
That's it.
Now, the supporter packs have been on sale for 1 week and the response has been great. It's funny, we're halfway through the pre-sale period. We're probably about halfway through the supporter packs. The hoodies are open edition. As many as we sell are as many as we shall produce. So you have until the, I think it was about midnight on the 28th of June. So it's about a week, just under a week from now. Get to thisweekinleague.com, hit shop, and you'll see the supporter packs and their contents. And you'll also see the 2022 hoodie available there for purchase. Get in quickly. You do have until the until midnight or 11:59 p.m. on the 28th of June to get those in. Want to get them produced pretty quickly and out there for people, so get on it. And if you miss out, I'm sorry. You're warned, fellas and ladies. Now is your chance to save
us. Hook me up with a green hoodie.
Yes, Glennie, I'll hook you up with a green hoodie. You want another black hoodie as well?
Yeah. Fuck, I've worn the shit out of these.
Yeah, they're good, aren't they?
Oh, I fucking love it.
Yep. There'll be green hoodies and everything all around. And also the for the patrons on the highest two tiers, the first merch drop will be coming at the same time, basically going to run everything through at the same time. If you haven't heard from Glennie, patrons at the top levels, we will need your T-shirt / polo shirt size. So run that through the Patreon messaging system on there and let us know, and make sure that we have your updated delivery addresses as well.
Don't fuck me around. My spreadsheet is coming together, but your sizes, there's a few fucking gaps in the sizes from people that have commented previously. So
there you go. Also, don't make Glennie cry.
Don't fucking make Glenn go back on historical data. If you've put on some fucking COVID kilos, no shame in that.
Yep.
And I just wanted to finish off with a little something. One of the things that impressed me during the pandemic was the way that the community of listeners came together and were there for each other and just helped out when some people were going through really tough times and other people were struggling in their own ways. Shit's getting hard out there at the moment. And there's a whole bunch of scary stuff happening, and no one really knows what's happening in the next 6 months with a lot of things, like cost of living and all of that shit. So I just want to put it out there, guys. If we can help out, you know, we've all got our own little bits of expertise in various parts of the world. But if you're struggling, jump in the Facebook group and say so. I'll put a little thread up there for people to chat with, just like we did during the pandemic. If you want to, you know, DM us privately, if there's anything we can do to help, obviously I'll put the fucking caveat out there that we do not know you, and so nothing constitutes financial advice. We are happy to give general tips and tricks from our own professions if they apply to you, and if we can help you out, we'd love to.
Can you slip us 50 grand?
No.
Fuck.
No, I can't.
Worth a shot. What if I DM you? Yeah,
fuck yeah. DM me. But yeah, don't suffer in silence. You've got a great community of friends and fellow listeners out there that would love to help. And if we can help out with any sort of advice around, you know, money or budgeting or how to do things more effectively, we'll help where we can, where we have time.
That is some true Dairy Cream vibe from a man that died a week ago. Delightful.
Look, it's fucking Jesus 2022.
Return. He saw the light, and he was and he turned away from the light at the last moment.
Motherfucker walks on water in Jordans.
And also remember, church is a tax-free organization.
Oh, fucking hell! How good.
He went to sleep on Wednesday night after texting us to say he couldn't do the show, and then he woke up and he was in a hotel fucking, and he had a briefcase and all his IDs said his name was Kevin Finity, and he was walking around and he couldn't get home, and he's woken up with a new appreciation for life.
I don't get it.
Firecrackers, and Tyson Gamble.
How good.
And a dragon costume, but only the ass end.
And that's it. I'll see you next week.
See ya.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.